going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
And off we go, ladies and gentlemen, into hour number three of the four-hour sports talk extravaganza that we call the Rob Brown Show here on The Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, you, and now joining us on the phone line, as she is more than kind enough to do every single Thursday at 8 a.m. to talk a little South Carolina Gamecock athletics, Lulu Kessin, kind enough to take the time out this a.m. Lulu, good morning. Happy Thursday. Have we rested and recovered from the tournament? I know that was an absolute whirlwind. Are we like back to normal-ish at this point?
Yeah, working there. I feel like once the NFL draft is over, because obviously that throws off the work timeline and the schedule too, just because it's basically all at night. I think May I'll feel like fully recharged, but I definitely feel like a lot better and more on schedule even now than I did like 2 weeks ago.
I have no doubt. I have no doubt. Since you brought it up very quickly, let's talk NFL draft for just a second, and we'll take it from two angles. I will ask you first, as a football fan, the question that I have been getting on different shows I've been guesting on this week. You got any shocks on round one? You got any surprises on round one? You got any round one happenings tonight that all of us are just going to be like, whoa, 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 what the hell just happened? A, and B, where do you think Nick Emenwori ends up playing out? Because this dude has been skyrocketing up of draft boards this week.
Yeah, I hate to disappoint. I don't necessarily have any of those, any like shock picks for round one. I think it's funny, like South Carolina, I do think last year, obviously it was sort of like no one thought Spencer Rattler was going to go round one, but everyone knew Xavier was going to. And so this year, I feel like it's fun kind of in that same way where it's like, okay, there's a ton of people who from South Carolina who may go, but the question is where in round one does Nick Emenwori go? And I mean, the defensive coordinator, Clayton White, praised Nick Emenwori to no end in his work ethic and his passion. And there's so much about him that I think wasn't always visible because he was only here for 3 years. And I say that in the sense of like, ah, dang, people didn't like get to know him as well as they could have. But I could see him, you know, people have him at 13 going to the Dolphins. I don't think he'll go, you know, as – I think it was like USA Today and maybe ESPN are thinking like mid to late 20s, like 24, 27. I think he's going more lower teens, but we'll see.
We are talking to Lulu Kessin here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Since we're talking football, Lulu, let's check in with Shane Beamer's Gamecock football program. I saw that you guys over at the Greenville News have gone so far as to establish a South Carolina portal tracker, because welcome to college football. in 2025. If I ask you to give me, if you have them, 2-3 big deals or conversation pieces that you think Gamecock fans might be interested in, whether it's the portal, whether it's the conclusion of the spring game and any learning lessons we took away from that, whatever, what might that be?
I'll do a couple and I'll do rapid fire. I think the spring game, my biggest takeaway, I was looking a lot at the wide receivers and the backup QBs behind Lenoris, because I think it was very useful to have somebody like Robbie Ashford last year, who had a lot of in-game experience, who could back up Lenoris when he unfortunately got hurt. And not that I'm expecting Lenoris to miss time, but obviously you have to be prepared for that. And I was really impressed with Cutter Woods. I think the first play of the game was like a 57-yard throw. I was not as impressed with Aaron Noland, and I think he knows probably. I asked Lenoris to kind of assess all of the quarterbacks, and it was clear that whatever went wrong, the quarterback has a very good understanding of how it went wrong. So I don't think, I'm not saying that Aaron Noland is bad. He just didn't have the best, I guess, couple quarters in the spring game. Wide receiver, like Malik Clark and Brian Rowe, those true freshmen, like, they're going to be good. There's a lot of really young wide receiver talent, which I think will be great, because Shane obviously lost their, I mean, Josh Simon, the tight end, led the team with, I think he was 519 receiving yards last year and like 40 catches. So somebody's going to need to replicate, you know, his production. Obviously returning Dre Jacobs and Mazio Bennett is huge. Jared Brown as well, but it was very impressive to see some of those freshmen. And then Shane is working in the portal. I mean, he said that he wanted depth at the edge rusher position, and he signed 2 edge rushers already. So it's a positive sign there. And if I, you know, in my opinion, so far, knock on wood, there hasn't been any crazy exits so far.
Lulu Kesson joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Aside from the quarterbacks at the spring game, and I am very interested in the situation with Aaron Noland, but I have also watched Lenoris Sellers. Like, he has become Lulu Kesson, and I'm not just talking about on the Vegas boards. You know, I host and I guest on multiple shows on national outlets throughout the week, Lulu, and the number of people who want to talk to me about Lenoris Sellers, not just his capability, but entering the 2025 season as a Heisman hopeful, is like recognizably increased. I host on a gambling show on our network on the weekends. We've had a number of college football guys come through over the past couple of months, and every time I've asked, is there a way too early Heisman hopeful, I have heard Lenoris Sellers' name thrown out there a number of times. Have you seen what you want to see out of the kid through the spring into the spring game to believe that he is worth having his name mentioned amongst the potential best of the best this season?
That's a tricky question, because I definitely haven't seen enough of him in general to have an opinion, just based on the access we get in the practices. Like, most of the time when we do get to watch practice, it's a lot of, okay, they're warming up. Okay, your 10 minutes is over when they're done stretching. I do think that Lenoris this season, if he continues to go upward, will have, you know, those Heisman talks validated, and they'll continue. But I think that in the spring game, I wasn't like, oh my God, Heisman, just because of the, like, it was a spring game, but he definitely wasn't ultra impressive there at all. He technically got sacked, I think, twice, and then threw an interception, but it was called back. So I think that it's hard to know what he's going to look like, you know, as second-year starter in a similar way if I didn't know what he was going to look like last year. And I think that's because I do strongly believe and confidently feel like there's a whole nother level to him that he hasn't unlocked yet.
We are talking to Lulu Kesson from the Greenville News, covers the South Carolina Gamecock Athletic Department. All right, let's very quickly, Lulu, kind of surface level, flip it over to the baseball program. Again, I know that this is kind of a year that maybe has gotten away from Paul Menary, but it is year number one. It's a big culture shift that has to take place here as we are getting towards the end of the SEC regular season for South Carolina. They've had some struggles in the SEC. They did take two out of the three against Ole Miss, relatively low scoring games. They won game 1-3-2. They won game 2-7-2. They lost game 3. Rubber stamp match on a Sunday. They've got a 3-2 win over UNF. It just kind of feels like right now, to some degree, the bats are a little bit of an issue, which with the pitching struggles we knew this team was going to have coming into this year, you needed the offense to stay hot. Any thoughts on that series? It can be surface level, or the thoughts on the series upcoming against Kentucky, which goes first pitch on Friday night.
Yeah, I think it was definitely, you know, I didn't look at the first, you know, the first win against Ole Miss and say, okay, this program is fine. I didn't, you know, have that reaction by any means, but it obviously was nice to see them take the series and win the first two games. But then, as Coach Maneri said, like, you're only, I'm paraphrasing, but it was something like, you're only as good as your next day pitcher or something like that. And so to have, you know, two quality wins and then give up, I think it was like 2 or 7 runs in the second inning or maybe even first inning, it's just like, that's hard to swallow. And I think that with this team, it's hard because the lows are really low and you can't really go high with the highs because it feels like they're met with a little bit of like disappointment pretty soon after. So I'm curious to see how they respond in general, just based on the fact that, you know, they had success finally, which everyone was sort of like, hey, if they don't win, like, I don't know. And then to kind of be at this good sort of up and then immediately come down pretty soon after on Sunday. I'm curious how the Kentucky series that starts tomorrow plays out simply because of how Ole Miss ended.
All right, Lulu Kesson, let's flip it over because I do think it is important to talk about the Gamecock women's basketball team. Dawn Staley is working the portal right now. I know we talked a couple of days ago, actually last week, I believe, about Tania Latson coming over from Florida State, young lady putting up over 25 points a game there. Now we find out that 6'6" Medina Ocott coming up from Mississippi State. Give me some thoughts on the signings of those two players. If you have any backstory on like how these transfers came about, was Dawn actively engaged in the portal? Was this, I know with Latson specifically, it was kind of a team effort, literally the team, her ex-teammate Raven trying to get her in there, etc. Can you just kind of give me the backstory on how these two young ladies, two of the best in the portal available, both ended up in Columbia?
Totally. Well, I'll start with, you know, with Ocott, she entered the transfer portal April 4th. So South Carolina was playing in the Final Four. And then on April 6th, after they lost the national championship, Dawn was like, we need, you know, production size. We need experience. And although Medina has only played one SEC season, like, she's a veteran already. She started 34 SEC games. I mean, she played tough NCAA tournament games against Cal and Southern Cal. So even though the world of SEC basketball and even just a lot was new to her, I mean, she played 2 years in Kenya, came here. I believe I was talking to the Mississippi State beat writer who I work with, and he said that it was a lot of adjustments, you know, getting her here on time and up to speed, but she just learned everything so quick. And I think that probably is something Dawn saw in her, not only her versatility, but her adaptability, her effort, her skill. I mean, she had a game in the double overtime win against Vanderbilt. She had 21 points and 23 rebounds. So I think that when Dawn saw her in the portal Final Four weekend in real time, which she said in a way you kind of get to do when you're losing by like 40, is you can look at, okay, what do we need next year? And I think it was obvious all season, but especially in the tournament, that Dawn wanted a true center. And so after Latson signed, Raven tweeted, okay, let me go get us a center, because there's a whole thing about how Raven's like Dawn's mini recruiter. And so Lotson was a done deal. Like, I saw that coming from a mile away from the second I asked Raven March 24th. I was like, so your girl's in the portal. Like, any thoughts on that? And she was like, yeah, I'm in her ear. I'm trying to get her to come here. Like, I'm telling her, run it back. And one who would I argue is one of the best coaches in women's basketball, maybe, I think, obviously the best coach in the SEC. Like, when she wants you and your old teammate is on the team and willing to return for an extra year, like, that was going to happen. And so with such a productive scorer like Lassen, I think Dawn wanted a true center that she didn't have and somebody that could probably come off the bench for Kitts or Edwards. And, man, Okot, she's a really, really great portal get. And she was here over the weekend hanging with the girls, and my sources tell me that she fits in really, really well and that everyone just, like, completely hit it off. So that's always a great sign.
Yeah, I think that's interesting, especially considering how we talked about last year. And I felt like it certainly played out in the national championship game, Lulu Kesson, that grabbing boards, cleaning the glass in the paint, kind of felt like the weakness and the downfall of this team. They were really unable to do it, even against UConn, who had some size, but it wasn't like they had themselves a Camilla Cardoso in the middle. It felt like by adding the 25 to the outside, even if it cost you Malaysia for Wiley, I still think you upgraded. And now adding, I don't want to say that she is going to be Camilla Cardoso volume two, but at least has the prototype to be that person. I think what I have to give Dawn Staley credit for in this spot, Lulu Kesson, is like the two spots we were most concerned about. She just addressed both of them, Dawn Staley did, right out of the gate.
Absolutely. And I do think too, like, not to just sit here and gas Staley up, but she can develop players. And so I think that's a huge testament to her, obviously her assistant coaches, her program, but I also think it gives her a really great advantage in the portal, knowing that she doesn't have to get a 2024 Camilla Cardoso in the portal. She can get, you know, maybe a 2022 Camilla Cardoso that still had, you know, some time to sit behind Aaliyah Boston and Victoria Saxon, but could give her quality minutes off the bench. And I see Okot doing more than, you know, Camilla did in 2022, but I think that Dawn is well aware that she has, you know, the talent, and she's bringing in a lot, but that Dawn has the tools to polish everything up.
Lou Kesson covers the South Carolina Gamecocks for the Greenville News. She is kind enough to join us every Thursday morning at 8 a.m. Lulu, appreciate it. Listen, enjoy the draft tonight. Enjoy NFL Christmas, and get your sleep, because I feel like next Thursday is going to be a big one.
Yes. Wait, can I say one more thing?
Yes, of course. Anytime.
It was so funny. You were all over my Twitter feed last week at the, like, football event. And all these, like, South Carolina fan accounts were like, oh, Rob Brown in a suit. Oh, he wore green tonight. Oh, Rob. And I was like, what the heck? How did I not know that? Like, it was Thursday night, right, or Friday. Like, you had talked on the phone, or we had done this interview, and then it was like you were Batman. You just were fully in a whole new outfit, a different suit, and everyone was gassing you up on my timeline. It was so funny.
I'm like, it's like Clark Kent and Superman, mild-mannered, quiet, and shy radio guy in the daytime, out there trying to make waves in the evening, Lulu Kesson. That's what I do.
Exactly. Well, everyone approved your outfit, so I'm glad that I got to see all of that. Everyone give you some well-deserved love and praise.
Did you peek the matching Jordans, though?
I did. It was a great touch, and I'm pretty sure my parents did, too, because I sent them the tweet. I was like, look, it's Rob Brown.
Wow. Look at oh my gosh. Now we're going to have to deal with this for the rest of the day.
Also, she said I'm Batman.
I heard.
Yeah. Lulu Kesson for the Greenville News. Appreciate it, Lulu. We'll talk to you next Thursday. Thank you, ma'am.
Have a great weekend. I'll talk to you guys next week.
You got it. See you then. Lulu Kesson for the Greenville News joins us every Thursday at 8 o'clock. When we come back, what do you want to get?
He's not my Batman. That's all I'm saying.
We can talk more draft. We got to talk some NBA players. How about JJ Redick? JJ Daggum Reddick needs some flowers. We're going to talk about that coming up in a few minutes and plenty more. He's Lonzo.
I'm Batman. And this is the Batman Sports Show on the Fan Upstate.
Rob Brown Show back on your radio, the Fan Upstate. I am Rob Brown, the great Lonzo back in the network studio. What would you like to get to? 844-326-3663 is the number to the Hub City Spartanburger text line, 844-326-3663. The phone line is also open. It is the same number, 844-326-3663. Call that number. Get on the show. I will ask you, Carolina Panther fans, and I will ask all of the rest of you, regardless of who your favorite team is. What's your dream scenario tonight? What's your dream scenario this evening? What is the perfect situation for your team to end up? Who's the guy that you want? What is the position of need that you want filled? Would you rather look at a trade back out of your spot, a trade up for a guy? I do not care who your team is. What are your thoughts? What are you looking forward to? What makes you walk away from the opening round of the NFL draft tonight? Your first pick of the first 32 picks and say, we had ourselves a good night. Zoe, I will start with you and your Kansas City Chiefs, the reigning, defending, undisputed NFL runners-up. What is going to be the pick at 31 that you lay your beautiful little head down tonight on your satiny sheets and pillows and say, I can rest easy, the Chiefs got it right?
Well, Thursday's a velvet night, so I lay my head down. Gotcha. Velvet. It's a purple velvet, by the way.
Wait. It's a velvet night, as in you rotate fabrics.
Yeah.
Nightly.
Yeah. Don't you?
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's what you do when you're rich and famous.
I respect it.
Yeah. So, I am going to say, I want an offensive lineman, and I've already told you that it. Obviously, the Chiefs need another tackle. They just absolutely do. Hopefully, one that doesn't take too long to develop. And Alex on the stream has already echoed what I said I would like to see for the Panthers. Although, it's going to be controversial, but ideally for the Panthers, for me, it would be quarterback. But I know that's not going to happen, so I'll settle for Ashton Jeanty.
I am, especially now with, and we talked about this a little bit earlier in the show, there is a...
Hey, let me interrupt really quick. I just want to say something that I've noticed on the overnight show lately, and this goes against the grain for some people, but there are a lot of people on the national shows who have multiple NFL teams. Just want to point that out. They do. They're fans of multiple NFL teams. And since we no longer have an arbiter here, although we are contractually obligated to mention him at least once a week until his memory completely fades, I think it's okay to root for multiple teams.
I think I've landed on it's okay to have a primary team and a secondary team, right? Like I think that's where I'm good with. Like, you're a Chiefs guy primary. You're a secondary guy for the Panthers, and I'm good with that.
I've been to Panthers camps. I've been to Panthers games. I've never had the opportunity to go to a Chiefs game except for a preseason game with the Panthers. So,
yeah, I
mean, my NFL experience outside of just fandom on TV is with the Panthers.
Yeah, I think it's primary, secondary. Like, I am a primary fan of the New Orleans Saints, although I'm struggling with that right now. My secondary team is the Buffalo Bills. I feel kindred spirits with my friends who have been perennial lovable losers who just love a good bleeping tailgate more than anything in the world. I've got a kinship with the Buffalo Bills as my secondary team.
Yeah, but do you love the fans and the party, or you actually love the team also?
No, I mean, I love the fans and the party, and therefore I'm kind of like a soft spot, secondary spot for the Bills. Like, I pull for the Bills unless they're playing the Saints, right? Like, if theoretically, in some multiverse, you ended up with a Chiefs-Panthers Super Bowl, you're wearing red that day, right? Like, you're not rocking silver and blue if the Cats are playing the Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
I am wearing red, but at the same time, if the Panthers won, it would be amazing because it would be the first time that they had ever won the Super Bowl.
Would you be the same level of emotional, distraught, whatever you want to call it, if Kansas City lost to Carolina, as you would be if Kansas City lost to, pick a generic NFC team, Philly?
I think that you can be happy and sad at the same time, especially if you have multiple personalities, which I may or may not have, or I may or may not have.
All right. So look, what is the take? What is the thing that happens tonight for your team, regardless of who your team is? What is the take that you go nighty night this evening and you go, that was a good day one draft, my team got it right? Okay. Chris Lewis, president of the Greenville Triumph, just texted. He said, here's mine. The Giants somehow swindle Philly, get Saquon back. Jaden Daniels demands to be traded to the Giants to play with Saquon. Washington capitulates. Parcells comes out of retirement and takes the reins, and the Giants become an actual NFL team again. Chris, I don't know what you've got in your coffee this morning, but Aaron Rodgers would
like
some.
This is your fault. You were very vague when you threw it out there to the Armada. Very vague. I mean, you should have put some walls there. You did not do that.
You are not incorrect. I did not say and be somewhat realistic. So, Chris, I'm going to let you off the hook on this one. What is your realistic take? What is the thing that realistic? Don't tell me Abdul Carter falls to 19. We get Mason Graham at 31. Yeah, okay. But seriously.
I am curious though, because he's the one Giants fan that we're aware of. Would he be upset if Shador went there? Even after all the smokescreen saying he's not gonna go there?
That's a good question. And that is one that we can throw out there, because I know that there's more than just the one Giants fan in attendance today.
Come on. It's just him. It is.
It's just Chris.
It's just
him. So to Chris and no one else, if the Giants end up with Shador Sanders at 3, if they decide that they are going to shock of the system and they go with Shador at number 3. You good with that? I got to tell you, I think I would be because the problems with Shador, again, we read you earlier. I got to go find out who it was, but somebody put up a tweet earlier, an article earlier, linked to a tweet that I saw, that allegedly that said that an assistant coach somewhere in the National Football League, an assistant coach said that all of the problems with Shador Sanders that have been discussed, that is to say the entitlement, the arrogance, whatever. An assistant coach told a journalist earlier this week that all of those things came out in Shador Sanders, in Shador Sanders pre-draft interviews, the sit-downs, the professional interviews with the teams. They said he came across as entitled. They said he came across as demanding. They said he came across as just a litany of adjectives that you do not want your starting quarterback to be described as. And that is the reason that Shador is not just coming down the draft board, but is tumbling again. Like I've seen a couple of mocks that still have him going 9, 16, 21, and I've seen a growing number of them that have him dropped out of the first round entirely when it's all said and done. And the away from the football field attitude. Now, I will say this, great one. I think there is, because I spent time yesterday saying the cockiness, the confidence, the arrogance, whatever. I'm willing to let most of that be something I overlook with Shador Sanders. Because again, I sit split down the middle of the nature versus nurture debate. I believe a good chunk of your personality is determined by how you were raised. I think a good chunk of your personality is determined by the environment in which you are raised. And here is a dude who was raised on the nurture side by Deion bleeping Sanders. And on the nurture side was a guy who has grown up the son of a multimillionaire, the son of one of the most notorious athletes of all time, and a damn good professional athlete, or soon to be professional athlete in his own right. So I'm not shocked he's got a bit of a dude, but there is also a line, especially when you are trying to get a job that you are going to cross and go, even if people like Rob Brown is willing to forgive this cat for being a bit of a head case, if you can't roll up into an NFL GM's office and just put on a bright smiley for just a couple of minutes, just put on a bright, shining face to show that you're really excited. If you're showing up making demands before you even hear your name called on draft day, yeah, it might end up costing you. It might end up costing you. All right, let's do this. Let's take a break. When we come back, speaking of the New York Football Giants, there is a hilarious story that is coming out about the New York Giants, about Joe Shane, about their general manager. And it dates back to, or is connected back to, you remember when Hard Knocks was following the Giants and there was that scene where Joe Shane was talking to his kids in his office and he was like, hey, who should we draft? And Joe Shane's kid was like, Jaden Daniels, get Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels is real good. Get Jaden Daniels. And then they didn't do that. And Jaden Daniels went on to be the rookie of the year this year, playing quarterback for their divisional rivals. You remember that? Well, there's an interesting little development that happened last night that has got some people raising one eyebrow at Joe Shane and the New York Giants. And it could impact everybody else in the NFL draft. I'll tell you who and what that is when we come back. He is the great Milanzo. I'm the Batman of Sports Talk Radio, Rob Brown. This is the Fan Upstate. You guys know I love a dumb story in football. You guys know I love when dumb, ridiculous, over-the-top and football mesh. It's my favorite thing, and we have one of those things. Do you remember, and we played it on this show because of how absolutely hysterical it was to me, when Hard Knocks rolled around last year leading up to and through the offseason and the New York Giants were featured, the clip that came out of Joe Shane in his office, and he had his kids in there along with some other folks, and they were doing draft prep. And Joe Shane asked his eldest son, who should we draft? And Joe Shane's eldest kid gave him a couple of players. He mentioned Jaden Daniels as one of those players. And there were like two or three more. And the kid went, so that we are clear here, the kid went 3 for 3 on his picks. The kid named three players, all who ended up panning out. Now, it's not like the Giants didn't get a great draft pick. They went with Malik Nabers, and I think that dude's going to be special if they can get his head screwed on straight.
So you're fine with this, but you're not okay with the kid who was going off of Madden scores.
If one of those kids was right and one of those was using Madden scores, yes, because the kid that said draft Jaden Daniels clearly knew what he was talking about in that spot. And here's the thing. I wasn't going off on the owner's child using Madden scores. Lonzo, I was going off on the owner using the child going off of Madden scores.
But still, you're upset that the owner didn't listen to his son and draft Jaden. I mean, it's this little.
Two things. Number one, it's just a silly story. And number two, correct. That is exactly the problem here. Now, here's why I love this goofy little story. Because Joe Shane asked his son, who does he want? And the kid went 3 for 3 on potential draft picks, including the rookie of the year, who could have been QB1 this year for the Giants instead of Russell Wilson. Welp, interesting little development. That same kid, Carson Shane is his name, last night was active on Twitter. Excuse me, on Instagram. Last night, he was active on Instagram. And something very interesting happened that was found out, seen, noticed by Warren Sharp of Sharp Football. Well, Carson Shane put up on his Instagram for just a few minutes, not very long, about 10 minutes or so, put up a highlight reel of Jackson Dart, the quarterback out of Ole Miss, put up a 2-minute highlight reel of Jackson Dart on his Instagram, then deleted it and set his account to private immediately. Like, put it up there. It was up there for like 8-10 minutes, and then immediately made his Instagram private. But of course, welcome to the internet.
How old is this kid?
Last forever.
How old is this kid?
Carson Shane. I don't know. I mean, I know he's.
No, I'm just curious if his dad immediately set his account to private, and then that's all.
Carson Shane. I'm trying to find out because I know he's like he ain't young. He's like in his mid teens, upper teens. He ain't young. But I also wonder, did Daddy Joe get a phone call at whatever o'clock it was last night going, hey, dude, you might want to call your boy because he just threw our shock the world pick out there for all the world to see. Now, let's be real clear here. I am having fun with this story, but let's be clear. It is very possible that Carson Shane is just a football guy and he likes Jackson Dart. I have shared highlight videos before. I have shared stats that I find amusing or entertaining or compelling or whatever before. It is possible that dude just really likes Jackson Dart. But also, why not just go full on the conspiracy theory that the New York Giants are going to blow the whole draft up at pick number 3 and take Jackson Dart out of New York? And here's the thing. This all comes on the heels of watching Jackson Dart move up draft boards spot by spot by spot to the point now that even though it is not most of them, a lot of them now do have Jackson Dart being drafted ahead of Shedeur Sanders. Time out. I do want to point out there is obviously the possibility that we see Jackson Dart still be drafted ahead of Shedeur or after Shedeur, but to the Giants, because the Giants are absolutely in trade back territory right now. The Giants need picks right now. Abdul Carter will be on the board when the Giants are picking at 3. And even though Abdul Carter is clearly, in my opinion, the right pick for spot number 3, it doesn't necessarily have to be to the Giants. Remember, the Giants have a very strong front seven right now. Abdul Carter would just be the cherry on top of the Brian Burns whipped cream of the Giants front seven chocolate sundae is all that would be. So that's it's a good pick. And it would make the Giants, without a doubt, they would have an identity. Their identity would become, we murder quarterbacks. That's what we do here in New York. And I find that interesting. But I also find interesting the possibility, I think a realistic one, that the Giants could look at that and go, there's going to be a lot of teams who want Abdul Carter. There's a lot of teams who want an edge rusher. Abdul Carter is absolutely, obviously, and clearly the best edge rusher in this draft. So if we want Jaxon Dart, and if Carson Shane's little Instagram thing last night has anything to say about that, maybe they do. If the Giants want Jaxon Dart, they could trade back as far as likely number 20. Likely number 20. Still get Jaxon Dart. And if there is a bidding war for Abdul Carter, which I suspect there would be, if there's a bidding war for Abdul Carter, great one, they could get a treasure trove and their quarterback and still end up with a very good edge rusher as far back as their second round pick or add another second round pick down the line. Like I got to say, the more I'm thinking about this, and I'm not saying all this is triggered by Carson Shane's late night Instagramming last night, but I think it's absolutely a possibility the Giants could trade back, get Jaxon Dart, add a treasure trove, and still get their edge rusher somewhere.
So the Giants have shown a history of doing smart things on the last year or two.
I didn't say all that. I'm saying Joe Shane's fighting for his job. He better figure it out. That's all. I mean, listen, they need a franchise quarterback. They got to get the right guy. Unless Joe Shane is tying his job to Russell Wilson.
Do you believe there are any franchise quarterbacks in this quarterback class?
Are there any that I personally would want to tie my career to? No. Here's what I said to Ryan Horvat on Tuesday. The floor, all right, I'll start with the evaluation of Jaxon Dart. Somebody said this on Bet for the Cycle a couple of weeks ago, and I wish I could remember who it was because I think it was a cat by the name of Joe DeLeon, who was on our show. And he said, if you look at the 10 best throws by quarterbacks this year, deep, long, middle, over the top, underneath, touch, finesse, whatever. If you look at the 10 best throws by quarterbacks this year, 7 of them were made by Jaxon Dart. If you look at the 10 dumbest decisions by a college football quarterback this year, 7 of those were made by Jaxon Dart. My eval on Jaxon Dart is the ceiling is lower than Shedeur Sanders because he's just not the same athlete. He's a good athlete, but he's not the same athlete. The floor is lower than Shedeur Sanders. If both of them are as bad as they can be, Shedeur Sanders will be a better bad quarterback than Jaxon Dart will be. But I also believe the roof is higher than Shedeur Sanders. I think there's a wider gap of possibility for Jaxon Dart. I think he would be a worse bad quarterback, but I think he could be a better good quarterback than Shedeur Sanders. And if that is the case, honestly, the more I think about it, the more Jaxon Dart might be the right pick if you are Joe Shane's throwing a Hail Mary here. If he doesn't get this year right, and I'm not saying win the Super Bowl, just show me that you're a playoff team. You've got the roster to be a playoff team. If he doesn't get this draft right and this season right, his job is out of whack. And if I've got to pick a first-round quarterback, available first-round quarterback, to throw a Hail Mary and connect my possible employment to Zoe, I honestly think Jaxon Dart might be that guy. That might be the play.
I kind of hope it happens, because again, I want to see a lot of movement tonight. I want to see a lot of chaos. I want to see people having to make deals on the fly because their other deals fall through, because chalk is just boring.
Listen, I've already said a couple of times, I don't think we're getting chalk tonight. I think tonight it has the potential to be one of the most chaotic first rounds we've ever seen. Honestly, I think multiple teams could be involved in multiple trades. I think tonight could be one of the most chaotic first nights of an NFL draft we have seen in a very long time. And then there's also the possibility that it doesn't, but you still see 5-6 trades tonight. You could see multiple teams moving up and down tonight throughout the course of the evening. I don't know how many. I would not be shocked to see 4 or 5 trades tonight. I would not be shocked to see as many as 7 or 8 trades tonight. And the Giants could be at the core of multiple of them. I could see them making a trade back. I could see them making a couple of trades back and stockpiling. It just depends on how many teams have the same level of interest in Jackson Dart that I feel like I have right now. We will find out. We're going to talk more about this as the show rolls on. In fact, when we return here in just mere minutes from now, Hayton Ass Mario from the BetMGM Network is going to join us. We'll get his thoughts on the NFL draft and what we might see in the first round tonight. We will talk a little baseball, NBA playoffs, Fight Club in about 20 minutes and more. That's all coming up in the last hour. But before we get there, ladies and gentlemen, the reigning, defending, undisputed heavyweight champion of sports flashes, Lonzo.
I'll take that one. By the way, I didn't have my mic on, so that counts, and I'm self-reporting. Game number two, win number two for the Hub City Spartan Burgers over the Greenville Drive last night, finishing with the first ever walk-off win for the Burgers, 4-3. Starter Colton Curtis struck out 4-2, while Larson Kendrick fanned 4 of the 6 he faced to earn the win. Boston Celtics now lead the Orlando Magic 2-0 after a 109-100 win behind Jaylen Brown's 36 points, 10 rebound effort. The Celtics got 20 from Kristaps Porzingis, who added 10 boards as well, and 17 from Derek White. Kristaps got busted open too. The Cleveland Cavaliers now have a 2-0 series lead over the Miami Heat after a 121-112 win off of a 30-point game from Donovan Mitchell. Hour number 4 of the Rob Brown Show up next right here on The Fan Upstate.